Creative Arts Therapies, healing through music, art, and dance. Power of the arts to help human beings cope with their surroundings has been understood for millennia. And since the 1940s, arts therapies, also called expressive therapies, have been studied in academic settings as effective tools to help people dealing with physical and mental challenges. These therapies are used in patients experiencing trauma, mental disabilities, grief, cancer, brain injury, and more. But here in Maine, many people don't have access to or don't know about creative arts therapies. I'm Jennifer Rooks. Today on Maine Calling, we will meet three certified therapists in three different fields to learn about the work they do and how it helps their clients. We'll also find out about their plans to expand awareness and access to arts therapy in Maine. Maine Calling is next, but first, this news update. From the MPBN studios, I'm Jennifer Rooks, and this is Maine Calling. We all know that the arts can bring joy and comfort to many people, but my guests today are going to explain how they can do even more, how the creative arts can heal. With me in our studio, Kate Beaver. She is the owner of Maine Music and Health, which provides group and individual music therapy services to clients in medical settings. She is a board-certified music therapist. Christine Linehan has been in private practice at Riverview Counseling in Scarborough for the past 19 years, specializing in creative treatment approaches for traumatic bereavement. And Jamie Silvestri is founder and executive director of The Art Van. She holds a master's of expressive therapy, a bachelor's in fine arts, and is a certified art therapist. As always, we want to hear from you. What questions do you have about creative arts therapy? Our phone number, 1-800-399-3566. Again, 1-800-399-3566. Our email address, talk@mpbn.net. You can send a tweet at Maine Calling or post to the Maine Calling Facebook page. Welcome to you all. And I'm going to start the program by asking each of you to explain what you do. Kate Beaver, what is music therapy?
Music therapy is the use of musical interventions in a therapeutic relationship to meet non-musical goals. It's kind of the best way to explain it. So we're not working on singing in the right key or anything like that. We're working on people's steady gait or someone dealing with their emotions or anything that could be cognitive or physical or emotional, or sometimes even social goals like turn taking and communication.
Okay, so really wide variety, but you're using music, you're not trying to teach people music, make them into musicians.
No.
You're trying to help them get to a place they need to be.
Exactly. And so a lot of the clients I work with have never touched an instrument, they've never sang. They say, oh, I can't carry a tune in a bucket, but you don't need any experience to be able to benefit from music therapy.
Okay, and Jamie, what is Art Van?
Art Van is a mobile arts therapy program. So as you mentioned, I'm a visual artist, so it tends to be a visual arts component that we use. And Art Van provides the art therapy service direct to unresourced neighborhoods. So we have four communities that we service, Bath, Brunswick, Lewiston, and Auburn, and Biddeford as well in the summer. So really five neighborhoods. And it's again, similar to what you were saying, Kate, it's not about the product. It's really about building relationships. It's providing a safe space and a safe approach to and a means for self-expression to explore inner conflicts, social goals, really meeting kids where they're at. It's a non-clinical approach. We are art therapists and we're trained in clinical, have training in clinical settings. However, what we do is community-based and it's strength-based.
So. I saw a picture of the van on the internet. You can't miss it.
No, it's
fun.
When
it comes to your community.
Yeah.
Are you predominantly working with children or all sorts of people?
All ages. Our neighborhoods is a drop-in, even though we're there all summer and all school year. So we do have a core group of kids who come weekly, but it is drop-in. It's ages 3 to 17 with an average age of 9, 10, and 11 in most neighborhoods.
So people will know what time and what day the van will come to their neighborhood and they'll be able to work with them. Christine, it's interesting to me that you've done this work for 19 years. When you started almost two decades ago, was it considered sort of a little odd, a little different? Did you meet a lot of skeptics?
Well, I've been in private practice for 19 years, but I've actually been in the field for 25 years.
Wow.
And I first worked at a psychiatric hospital. And yes, it was there was a lot of skepticism around it. I was the first movement therapist at the psychiatric hospital. But I think we really showed people that movement was a very important part of healing from trauma, because the trauma is experienced in the body.
Yeah, and you know, I asked each of the others to explain what it is. What is movement therapy?
So I'm a board-certified dance movement therapist, and movement therapy is, the premise of movement therapy is a psychotherapeutic use of movement. So like both Kate and Jamie were saying, it's not teaching dance, but using movement as a way to access feelings, memories, self-regulation, and healing.
I'm betting that sometimes it can be really emotional.
It can be, and particularly in my work currently, I work with traumatic loss. So in trauma, we try very carefully to work on the physiological aspects of trauma and safety, stabilization, so that it's not overly emotional, traumatizing individuals, but helping them use the body as a means of stabilizing and really feeling that they can manage some of those strong emotions that come up after loss.
I had the privilege, Kate, of spending a day with you a couple weeks ago. The mm-hmm. video of that's on the MPBN Main Calling Facebook page, and I hope that our listeners will watch that. One of the things that was so fascinating is that one of your clients really mm-hmm. went through an amazing transformation just after a couple sessions. This is a man who hadn't really spoken.
Yes.
And in 5 decades,
yes.
after a couple sessions, began to speak. Yes. Is this an unusual result for you, or do you see this kind of transformation pretty often?
It's not unusual, actually. The first couple times you see it, and especially if you aren't familiar with music therapy, it can seem sort of magical or like a trick or something, kind of hard to believe, but it's really common because participating in music, whether you're listening or singing or playing an instrument, you're using up more of your brain than if you're just talking or walking. So it speeds that process along. So I see it all the time, actually. And that man is a special case because it was such a clear transformation. It was so obvious. Once he started participating, he was able to talk. So I have special training in neurologic music therapy, and there's specific techniques in that field that you can use specifically for speech. And so you'll teach someone the phrases they want to be able to say, whether it's something like, I need to go to the bathroom, which is really important, or I love you, which is important in a different way. You'll teach that phrase through a song, like a familiar song that they can sing along to, and then eventually take the music away and they'll be able to speak it.
Mm. So, but on a daily basis, you're experiencing life-changing moments for people.
Yes. Not every day. I would say, like with any job, some days are really special, and some days I sort of feel like, oh, what did I do today? So it just depends, you know, and you have to find, whenever I work with a new client, you have to find the thing that works for them. And so I'm always bringing many different instruments and I have a huge repertoire of different genres of music that I'm familiar with so that I can try to find what will connect with each individual person. And especially when you're working with people who are nonverbal. And then in Maine, where music therapy is really new, I don't always get all the information in a clinical setting. So I'm sort of working, flying by the seat of my pants, as they say. So just kind of getting to know the client right when you meet them and figuring out what will connect to their brain.
I want to give the others a chance to tell some stories. Jamie, tell me a story about a client or group of clients that you feel as though the art therapy that the Art Van brings to them has made a real difference in their lives.
Well, I mean, I'm thinking back to what you just commented earlier about the van, and in and of itself, just having this bright, colorful vehicle drive by or drive into a neighborhood or just between transitioning from one neighborhood to another and seeing people hold a thumbs up or smile or wave at us or take pictures and the kids come running up alongside waving and smiling. It's that one moment of transformation, and it's small, but it's huge. and it takes you out of your normal day. It's a aha moment. It feels good. And like Christine's talking about movement and accessing, you know, that body language. So it's all part of the bigger picture. So moving along and waving at the van and smiling, and when you're maybe on your way to work and thinking about work and your day, and something takes you aside and makes you feel good is to me progress, and it's wellness, and it's all a part of that bigger picture. And then there's the deeper work that might happen for a young person that we've seen very often when they participate in the art making and when they feel good about something they've created participate alongside of interns who are closer to their age. And it's this relationship building that's transformative. The art in and of itself as well, the materials access different emotions and provide, you know, a safe space through the material and the mediums in and of itself. You know, stories where a neighborhood experienced a fire in an apartment and that created sort of a traumatic scene for the entire neighborhood. Mm-hmm. And so we shifted our project to focus on, instead of using paint, which was the original project, to do something more reconstructive. Mm-hmm. So popsicle sticks and collage and glue and, mm-hmm. you know, and so starting to talk a little bit about how that experience of that fire in that neighborhood affected them, and then how do we rebuild. And so, you know, one young person who's usually very rigid about their art and very, you know, more of an eighth grade age range really began getting messy for the first time, but with sticks and just throwing these sticks on with tons of glue. And so he somewhat regressed even with this constructive medium, and then watching that transform into a shape, and then was able to say it was really scary. It was very close to his own apartment. He was afraid, you know, mm-hmm. something would happen to his family as well. And so, you know, there's all these different levels. And I think every moment is huge. And my expectations are just to create a safe space, to be a healthy adult role model, and to build trust. And if I'm able to establish that just by walking in the door, anything after that is icing on the cake. And I welcome it all. And I think all of it is about wellness.
And Christine, giving you a chance, I'm imagining that many people who experience trauma, whether it's the loss of a loved one or perhaps they've been sent to a war zone or so many of the other reasons you might experience trauma, close into themselves and become very hard to communicate with. Tell me how what you do, give me some examples or a example of a patient that exemplifies the work that you do.
Mm-hmm. Well, many, many clients come to mind around that, because the people that come to see me often have endured a very traumatic loss for a variety of, you know, both disasters or suicide, homicide. And they do come in, as you did in your body, kind of a frozen in grief, we call it. They're closed in, tight, often talk about feeling immobilized. And the line I hear over and over again is, I have no words for this grief. Mm. And it's so true that when we know from research that the body can really shut down, and soak in the mind, it's very hard to find the words after trauma. So one of the examples that I was thinking about this morning, this woman I worked with who had had a series of losses, we talk about that as bereavement overload, and she was, the thought of moving was not, I didn't start with movement with her. In fact, as all of us are talking about, it's the relationship, you know, being with her, finding out what her modes of expression were, and she really loved music. So she brought in a lovely piece of music called The Lark Ascending, and we just really worked with that image of the lark ascending. It was a very light piece of music. So as she was listening to the music, then she could maybe do a gesture of, what does that feel like in your body to listen to that music? And how does that connect to your loss? So she imagined her loved one as the lark ascending. And it was a beautiful moment for her. Oftentimes I'll have people use a prop, because if they're frozen in grief, it's hard to move independently. So she had a scarf, and she was just very gently moving around the space to that music, thinking about her loved one. And in reflecting on that later, which is a big part of movement therapy, is integrating that later with a verbal component, talking about, what was that like for you? she really was able to connect with the person that she had lost for the first time. Because she had pushed it away. It was so, the loss was so traumatic that even thinking about the happy memories would make her feel very like hyper-aroused and overstimulated. So the music and the movement and the scarf, I think, the sensual quality of the scarf was very relaxing for her.
It's interesting because I'm sure there are people in our audience who are thinking this sounds kind of out there. But there is research and there is, I mean, all three of you have degrees and a lot of training, and there's a lot of research to support that what you all are doing works.
Yes. And I was thinking about that because I know people do think of that as out there, except but fortunately now we are getting good research on there's a wonderful study coming out of Israel very soon about the emotional component of movement. So if you move in a certain way, which we all do, it can affect certain emotions. And interestingly enough, they did a study on happiness that if you do light movements and upward movements and rhythmic movements, it connects with happiness. So I invite even the listeners to try it, to, you know, when you wake up in the morning and you're feeling like, oh, to stretch up, and not just stretch up, which most of us do, but stretch around and then try something light.
So unless you're driving your car right now, it might be a good time to raise your arms up and take a big breath and sway back and forth. Believe it or not, we have to take a break. We'd love you to join the conversation. Our phone number, 1-800-399-3566. That's 1-800-399-3566. Our email address, talk@mpbn.net. You can send a tweet at Maine Calling or post to the Maine Calling Facebook page.
Broadcast of Maine Calling is made possible by MPBN listeners and by Patriot Subaru, providing sales, service, and accessories on new and pre-owned all-wheel drive Subarus on Route 1 in Saco.
Next time on The World, celebrity fathers in South Korea try taking care of their kids solo. It's for a reality TV show that's pretty unreal, according to this Korean dad.
They receive money just, you know, looking for their kids. It's not usually possible.
Or even likely. But that doesn't stop Korean families from watching other dads try it on TV. That and the news on The World.
Join us for The World coming up at 3 o'clock.
I don't really have a great track record with cars. I'm Renee Montaigne. Three of the four cars that I've owned met a bad, you could even say tragic, end. And two of them met a similar bad end, and that is that they were totaled while I was sleeping, or in one case, working. But your car can have a happier ending. Donate it to us and turn it into the programs you love.
And for more information, visit mpbn.net, click on the Car Talk Vehicle Donation Program button in the top left corner.
And welcome back. This is Maine Calling. I'm Jennifer Rooks. Today on the program, Creative Arts Therapy. With me in our studio, Christine Linehan. She's been in private practice at Riverview Counseling in Scarborough for the past 19 years, specializing in creative treatment approaches for traumatic bereavement. Kate Beaver is the owner of Maine Music and Health, which provides group and individual music therapy services to clients in medical settings. She's a board-certified music therapist. And Jamie Silvestri is founder and executive director of ArtVan. She holds a master's of expressive therapy, a bachelor's in fine arts, and is a certified art therapist. We invite you to join the conversation. Call 1-800-399-3566, 1-800-399-3566. You can send an email to talk@mpbn.net. You can tweet at Maine Calling or post to our Facebook page. We'll start in Cumberland with Polly. Hi, Polly. Go ahead. You're on Maine Calling.
Hi, and I want to say a special hi to Kate Beaver. She is amazing. She was wonderful to get together with a group of three people with Parkinson's, and we had the best time. It was the highlight of their week to get together and sing with her, because she can tell you that people with Parkinson's have a hard time getting words out. And when they sing, the words just flow. And so whether it's row, row your boat or whatever you're singing, it is just fun. And she had great musical instruments, and it was always a big treat.
Great. Thank you so much, Polly. Good to hear from you.
No, good to hear you, Kate. So glad you're there.
Thanks.
Yeah, and good luck.
Thank you.
Hope we get together in the fall.
Yes.
Thanks, Polly, for calling in. You know, that's so interesting that music can, or singing, the people who have trouble speaking otherwise. I've also heard that, you know, sometimes in assisted living facilities or in nursing homes, the employees will bring the folks who live there into the lobby and play old music, and
yes,
people who are almost immobile otherwise will suddenly
get up and start dancing or sing along. It's pretty magical to see. And the group she's talking about was pretty high functioning adults really with Parkinson's, and we were just working on speech. And that group is actually expanding this fall. Maine Med is starting to take that on, and we're going to open it up for more people. So it's pretty exciting.
Great. So if people want to find out more for information, they can go either to your website or Maine Med. Yeah, great. We're going to move on to Portland and David. Hi, David. Go ahead.
Hi. I missed the first 20 minutes or so of the show, so maybe you've already addressed this. My background's related to what have you, and I'm currently at USM for the social work LCSW program. But prior, I was accepted at the Art Institute of Chicago, which has a really great program for art therapy specifically. My question is regarding, we're all in this, obviously nobody's in it for the money, but it is a concern as far as building and what have you. Anybody who's in private practice, has it been legitimized any further? Is it easier to bill for art therapy than it used to be?
David, thank you for bringing this up. And no, I hadn't asked the question yet, but I think this is a very important question for all of our guests. How do we pay for these arts therapies? Are these recognized by insurance carriers? Are there other methods? And I understand it's different for each of you. So, Kate Linehan, I want to ask about you. You are working at you are working at Riverview, which I'm sure many of the therapies offered through Riverview Counseling are reimbursed by insurance carriers, Medicare. What about what you do?
Yes, I'm a licensed clinical professional counselor. So through that license, I can bill insurances, and dance movement therapists are recognized as licensed clinical professional counselors in the state of Maine and many states. I think New York is the only state that licenses creative art therapies with a separate license. So we get reimbursed. We are not reimbursed by Medicare and Medicaid. That's true of LCPCs.
Really? Okay. So many private insurance carriers, but not Medicare and Medicaid.
At this moment, but the American Clinical Mental Health Association is working on that.
Okay. Okay, and Kate Beaver, this is not the case for you.
No, music therapists have a board certification, which is a national certification, and then states are slowly starting a state licensure procedure, and that's what we're doing in Maine. So I think there's 13 states now that have a state license. So our funding, all of my clients are either private pay or funded through grant programs, third-party programs. When I work in a hospital or a facility, the facility will pay for the group, and then clients can come for free. And I've had luck with some insurance carriers, but it seems to be very case-by-case basis. So it's a confusing system to figure out, and often you just have to ask or get a doctor's note, a referral source, and then they'll cover it.
And did you say that 13 states now have a licensing process for music therapists, but Maine is not one of them?
No.
But you and the other four music therapists in Maine are working toward establishing that. Have you made any progress?
We're getting there. Yeah, we have a task force. I think it's getting easier because there's so much research coming out. And then, billing is pretty easy when you have, especially with neurologic music therapy techniques, it's just such a clear change that you see. I don't think we'll have a huge problem getting there in the next couple of years.
And Jamie, you mentioned at the very beginning that it's non-therapeutic, non-clinical is the right word. Yeah. And so are you a nonprofit that raises money for what you do and you don't even work through the insurance carriers at all?
No, we don't. I mean, it's something we have intentions to explore because our core neighborhoods are the under-resourced neighborhoods, and then we have fee-for-service programs where an agency hires us directly, and so they will pay a fee for our services, and they'll hire us because they may not have an art therapist on staff to do the work that we do. So, we talk about and look at, whether it's possible for us if I do not have a licensed clinical professional counseling degree, so I'm not an LCPC, but my staff does. And so that would qualify us to charge insurance companies. And I don't know whether that would be applicable in our work if we were working in an institutional setting and hired by an institutional setting, an outpatient setting. So it's something to explore. It could be more complicated because of your documentation and all the billing. And we work in groups primarily, so it is harder for private practitioners to get reimbursed for their services in a group setting. So we do a lot more group process work than individual work. So it's something to explore.
Yeah.
But yes, we seek grants is how we get funded.
Christine?
I just wanted to make a correction because I don't take MaineCare, but licensed clinical professional counselors can be reimbursed by MaineCare.
Mm. Yeah.
It's the only thing that the only insurance we're not reimbursed by is Medicare at this time. But that will be changing, I think, hopefully very soon.
And also, we should say there's a lot of other creative arts therapists in the state of Maine, and we all work a little bit differently. Mm-hmm. So it's good to check in with someone in your area and see what they do accept.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay. David, thanks for the call. Good question. Moving on to Thomaston and Pat. Hi, Pat. Go ahead.
Hi. I am a speech-language pathologist, and there is an actual therapy called melodic intonational therapy,
yes,
which goes right to what these folks are doing, because the music hits the right brain, which carries the words into the left brain.
Mm-hmm.
That is why it works so well. It's used for aphasics. It's used for autistic kids. It's used for anybody who is having trouble acquiring language. It's one of the tools that we use. I use music in my sessions a lot. Well, not a lot, but some with kids in the school. And you do see progress with it. It's just another way of getting information into the brain, because the right brain processes the information differently than the left brain does.
It seems like everything is interrelated here.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And that technique specifically, neurologic music therapy, sort of stole that from speech therapists. They've been using it for a really long time, and it's a great technique. So really the only difference is that we sort of turn things into songs and put more harmony, harmonic changes and rhythm and things behind it.
Pat, thanks for calling. Moving on to Orland and Amy. Hi, Amy, go ahead.
Hi, I wanted to say, first of all, that it's fascinating that you're doing this program today, because last night on MPBN TV was a wonderful program called Capturing Grace with the Mark Morris Dance Group, and they were working with Parkinson's patients.
Yeah.
So
wow.
If anybody has an opportunity to check that out.
Thank you.
It was absolutely wonderful. Also, I am an expressive arts facilitator of groups, and I work in the Ellsworth Greater Penobscot Bay area, and my groups are called Art for the Heart from the Soul. And I just wanted to mention that there are other organizations than just specifically art therapy, although I am a member of the International Expressive Arts Therapy Association, which will actually be holding their conference in China this year.
Mm-hmm.
And expressive arts can be utilized not only personally in small groups, but as well it is a tool for social action in the world for you by the use of collaborative creativity and the fostering of peace. The groups that I run are small six-week series, and we utilize art making, journaling, movement, drama, sound, and music. And it requires no artistic talent or previous experience. And the interesting thing is that also, as many of your guests have said, it's not about the product, it's about the process.
Amy, I invite you to put some information about your sessions on the MPBN Maine Calling Facebook page. And thanks so much for calling. We're going to move on to Portland. And Chris, hi, Chris, go ahead.
Yeah, I'm a master's level art therapist. I'm not practicing currently in Maine. I'm doing more program administrative work. But one of the things I found when I moved to Maine, my master's degree qualified me for an LCPC, but I didn't apply for one because when I read the licensing qualifications, in the very last section of it, there's rule outs of people who can't become licensed as an LCPC, and it says Faith healers, liaison of hands, and art therapists qualify. And I found that rather regressive and distressing. So it was upsetting to me. But, you know.
Chris, where did you read this? Is this in some a Maine code, or is this
if you go to the Maine DHHS clinical licensing website, and it's, you know, paragraph after paragraph of regulations, you get to the very end of what disqualifies people for an LCPC, and it's the second to last paragraph, I think, in the licensing regulations for LCPC.
I think that's something you can almost argue with the state, actually, because depending on what program, you know, and I think some of that information is outdated, and now the expressive therapies programs are much farther along, so it would be a lot easier to get licensed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I know there are art therapists who have LCPC. But they go and they take extra courses.
Exactly.
And beyond what their master's degree was to qualify for that. Kind of leads to the way people think about art therapy. Mm-hmm. They're putting it in the same category as a faith healer or a layer on their hands. It's kind of a magical practice rather than a clinical practice.
Yeah, and that's something I think we're all working to change, and some of the modalities are changing it through licensure in each state, and some modalities are just working differently and kind of bypassing that system because it is clinical work. And of course, there's art teachers and there's artists who are working in different ways using art, but they're not... they didn't get the training in art therapy.
Right.
I believe Lesley University now has, when you graduate in their master's program, you graduate with an LCPC.
Yep.
So I think it's looking into more of those the schools right now and what you can graduate in that field with as a credential. So
You may want to check with your program to help you with clarifying that it's legitimate, your degree. Mm-hmm. For getting a licensed clinical professional counselor,
Chris, thanks for calling in. If you would like to join the conversation, the phone number 1-800-399-3566. That's 1-800-399-3566. This is Maine Calling. We're talking about arts therapy, creative arts therapy, also known as expressive therapy. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, more of your comments and questions. Please stay with us.
Broadcast of Maine Calling is made possible by MPBN listeners and by Casella, handling over 1 million pounds of recyclables daily in the state of Maine. Casella, giving resources new life. And Finance Authority of Maine, committed to expanding business and education opportunities by investing in Mainers' success. FameMaine.com.
On the next Fresh Air, the past century of laws regulating sex regarding marriage, homosexuality, adultery, rape, pornography. We talk with Eric Berkowitz, author of The Boundaries of Desire. He says the past century has produced an immense amount of sex law, but the law has had trouble keeping up with changing social and moral standards. Join us.
Join us for Fresh Air this evening at 7 o'clock. And join us at 1 o'clock following Maine Calling for Climate One. Climate One explores the path to a clean and cool planet. Fossil fuels are at the core of the climate challenge. Even Saudi Arabia's oil minister has said that the fossil fuel merry-go-round will wind down one day. But are companies actually going to leave their oil, coal, and gas assets in the ground? Join us after Maine Calling for Climate One.
And welcome back. I'm Jennifer Rooks, and you're listening to Maine Calling. Today on the program, Creative Arts Therapy. With me in our studio, Jamie Silvestri, who is founder and executive director of ArtVan. Christine Linehan has been a private practice at Riverview Counseling in Scarborough for the past 19 years. She's a dance and movement therapist. Kate Beaver is the owner of Maine Music and Health, which provides group and individual music therapy services to clients in medical settings. Join our conversation. Give us a call, 1-800-399-3566. That's 1-800-399-3566. We have an email from Beryl. She asks, can a child with autism benefit from any of these forms of therapy? This 7-year-old girl is hyperactive and she is verbal. Thank you.
Yes.
All modalities.
Yes. All modalities. There's great work in dance movement therapy with autism, and you can find a wonderful presentation on YouTube that describes dance movement therapy with autism. It's Christina Devereaux, from Antioch University and describes in 20 minutes just exactly how beneficial movement therapy can be.
And Christine, why don't you provide me a link and we'll put that on our MPBN Main Calling Facebook page, if you can, to the video?
I can. Yes, I will.
Okay, great.
Yes.
And Kate, I know that some of the students you worked with the day I was with you have autism.
Yeah, and that's actually been sort of a new population for me in the past couple of years because I've mostly worked with adults, but I just the past 2 or 3 years I've been working with children with autism. And you see just so many changes when they're participating in music because they're so excited about it. So we work on social skills through percussion, sort of percussion games, drum circle style things, and then self-expression and sort of dealing with emotions. I co-treat with some speech therapists at Pine Tree Society that do a really good social skills group for teenagers with autism.
And I don't know where Beryl was writing her email from, but how would one go about trying to find someone in your area for any of these therapies, especially if you are both based in southern Maine?
Mm-hmm.
Are there people throughout the state or not really?
Mm-hmm. Well, there are 14 dance movement therapists in the state of Maine. Mm-hmm. And I think if you find, you know, really a lot of it is Googling, perhaps, mm-hmm. or, you know, with a lot of children that have autism, they may be able to find a dance movement therapist through an agency.
Yeah.
Just look for the credentials of music, dance, art.
And I am going to put it on my website. I keep a running list because I run a creative arts conference every year. So I try to keep in touch with most of the creative arts therapists in Maine and can usually give referrals. But you can also just look at the National Association websites and do a search for people if they're a member. Or you can look for the certification websites and search there.
Okay, great. We're going to go to Waterville and Ellery. Hi, Ellery. Go ahead.
Yes, how are you?
Good.
I appreciate the program. It's been very, very interesting so far. I am involved in many, many different forms of art, and I enjoy them all, but I was curious as to how does one select among the many, many varieties of and types of therapies, just how to match a patient or a candidate to a particular therapy when there are so very many different issues to be involved and so many different therapies. Is there any input by the prospective candidate as far as what they might like to try? I'm very curious about that.
Great question.
Yes.
How do you figure it out? Where should they go to Christine or Kate first if they're looking for a creative arts therapy?
Well, I'll speak to the movement therapy because many of my clients come in not thinking that they ever want to do movement. Don't ask me to move. As my dance teacher said, movement is the last threshold of inhibition for many people. Not cross-culturally, by the way, but definitely maybe in our state of Maine. And but I have an example of someone who came to me who was adamant. You know, she found out, she saw on my site that I was a dance movement therapist, and she had heard that I also do traumatic loss, so she wanted to come to me, but she did not want to move. And for her, it's like anyone, we're really dealing with the relationship, so talking to her, starting and reminding her that she's already moving by breathing, which is really where we start with trauma. But a nice example is that she said, I don't want to move, but I like to draw. So she drew this beautiful image of herself dancing. And she said, that's how I would like to feel in my body. And in my mind, I was doing movement therapy with her.
So is your advice to Ellery, don't necessarily think that the client should choose just because one might think they like one thing better than the other. Go ahead, Jamie.
Yeah, and I think even though each of us have different modalities that we focus in, our training overlaps between modalities. Mm-hmm. So I have a degree in expressive arts therapy, and I focus in visual arts because I'm a visual artist. But I also took work and have worked with and work in psychodrama, play therapy, music, incorporate dance and movement. My work before ArtFan was working in a hospital setting on a psychiatric unit for adolescents. And it was a revolving door of kids coming in. And I might leave one night, and it was a really calm, certain census of personalities with a lot of different issues. And the next morning I come in, and we've had some discharges and new admissions. And so I'd have to work in the moment. And maybe the art component, visual art component, wouldn't access what needed to be accessed with this particular group, and we had to do psychodrama and move from that. Or the art turns into a drama, or the art turns into a movement, or the movement turns into an art form. So in the neighborhoods we service, it's the same thing. Whoever walks in that door, if it's a high-energy group, we're going to do some play in the beginning. We're going to do some movement. Mm-hmm. We're going to do maybe some poetry and then or maybe some drumming on the table. And then we'll move into the visual component and then maybe move out of it or it'll stay there. So I feel like I'm comfortable working that way in a very spontaneous kind of doing a quick assessment of the needs of the group and who's in the group, the average age, the energy level, the needs, the conversations of what's happened in the community, there's been a crisis, and then boom, move into an art modality or two.
Kate, what's your advice for Ellery? How do you choose?
I think even when you're looking at talk therapy, you know, psychotherapy or counseling or social workers, you have to find a good fit. So it's really key to remember if you've never been to therapy that it could be a good fit or it might not. Some of my best clients are sort of the grumpy old men type. I was laughing when Christine said something about being in Maine because a lot of people are a little apprehensive about the idea of therapy in general. And so arts therapy can be a really nice sort of buffer zone. So instead of just saying, how do you feel today? You can express it through art.
Okay. And, you know, so you would encourage someone to try.
Definitely.
Just try one. Mm-hmm. But it's not as much. If you're experiencing autism, try music. And if you're experiencing trauma, try dance. Because all of these emotional and many physical disabilities can be helped by all of these therapies.
Definitely.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
It's a holistic approach. I mean, we're really meeting the client, that strength-based, meeting the client where they're at. And if they're very intimidated to draw or dance, you may start someplace else.
Ellery, does that help you at all?
Does. I've found all arts to be very passionate things, and just by having that passion involved, that brings out so much. So thank you. The question has been addressed very well.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ellery. Going to Blue Hill and Leslie. Hi, Leslie.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
I wanted to explore just a little bit the importance of music in working with the elderly and people going through the process of dying. I recently spent the last 10 days of my mom's life with her. She was 91.
Wow.
And she was living in the memory unit of a retirement community.
Mm-hmm.
And the person there in charge of activities used to regularly work with the folks there with an exercise CD that had songs and music very familiar to folks of her generation, their generation that were there. And during those last days that I spent with her, music was really important and helped both of us. If the gal that ran the activities came in and sang with her, she would start singing all the songs again. And even toward the end of her last couple of days, when it was very hard to understand her speaking voice, if you got her started singing a song, it came out perfectly clear.
That's beautiful.
And, I just wanted to share that.
Yeah, thank you.
And remember how important that is at that point in people's lives.
Thank you.
Thank you, Leslie. Kate, would you recommend that even if somebody doesn't really have access to a professional service, that, you know, singing with someone, whether
definitely.
They're dying, whether they're going through a rough spot in their lives?
Yeah, this is something I recommend to everybody, especially I love working with caregivers and family members of people who are ill, and I always recommend sing to them. Don't talk to them, just sing. It really helps. When I was in New York, I was at Sloan Kettering, and my focus was actually palliative care, so end-of-life care and working with family members of people who are passing away. And it's a really special thing, both for the patient, because it can kind of take them out of that hospital room or take them out of hospice and bring back really good memories and give a positive experience, but then also for the family members to be able to reconnect in that way. And I've even had people make playlists of songs that they want to sort of leave for their family, things like that. So it's definitely possible to, you know, music, nobody owns music and it's everywhere. So just use it for yourself.
I'd just like to add that there's some beautiful work being done in dance movement therapy with palliative care and dementia around movement. And just listening to your story about helping someone die while you're listening to the music, to also have just a soothing movement. It can be just a gesture or a way. It has been really helpful for a lot of people, including members of my own family. So I think, again, that's something anybody can do to incorporate both music and movement at end of life.
Leslie, thanks for your call. Going to Portland now, and Anne. Hi, Anne. Go ahead. You're on Main Calling.
Hello. Thank you very much for taking my call. Yes, the only person I know on your panel is Kate Beaver. She will recognize my accent, I'm
yes.
sure.
Hi.
Hello, Kate.
Hi.
I'm delighted you're still doing this good work. I wanted to mention, because, Kate knows me through working with dementia and Alzheimer's. I do geriatric case management, and I the power of music is just extraordinary. And a film that I've been really trying to educate a lot of facilities about is Alive Inside. I'm sure Kate is familiar with this film. And just to give you a brief, it's really extraordinary what this young social worker traveling around through nursing homes and began to bring in the music. He would meet with the families and say, what's your dad's music? What did he love? And then recording the music or bringing it and putting it on a small iPod, whether it was classical or show tunes. And so Alive Inside is described this way. Alive Inside is a joyous cinematic exploration of music's capacity to reawaken our souls and uncover the deepest parts of our humanity. So I just wanted to add that to your lovely program today and to really encourage anyone who is in a professional environment working with elders, particularly those who have stopped speaking. If you get an opportunity to see this film, you will see the power of music bringing back speech.
And do you know, is Alive Inside something that one has to go to a screening to see, or is this something we can access on
Netflix
the internet?
Now.
It's on Netflix.
Yeah.
Streaming.
Wow.
You can order a DVD. I've ordered a couple of the DVDs, and you can certainly Google it. It's aliveinside.us.
And something I want to add to that, too, is, and thank you, Anne, for bringing that up, is, you know, it doesn't matter. A lot of people think, especially in end-of-life care, that you want this really soothing, like, harp music. And sometimes that's a horrible idea to bring a harp into a hospital room because it brings up some images that someone might not be prepared for. And a lot of people, you know, they want to hear, you know, whatever they liked in their 20s. They might want to hear country music or heavy metal. So you really have to get to know the person. And there's some danger, I think, in just making playlists of things. But if it's really individualized, it's a great program.
Anne, thanks for calling and telling us about the film Alive Inside. We have an email from Patricia. She says, I'm Patricia Mulholland, a music therapist of Be Your Note Music Therapy and a colleague of Kate's. I'm currently conducting a qualitative research program at a memory care center to document shifts in mood, energy, and anxiety level with Alzheimer's and dementia patients. I'm hoping this will help our main state task force
Woo-hoo.
Effort to achieve state recognition.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Patricia,
Yay,
for
Patricia.
Writing in. Yeah, and we're going to go to Alfred and Rhoda. Rhoda, we're running short on time, but if you can make your question or comment fairly quick, that'd be wonderful.
Well, Jennifer, I'm just so happy to be able to speak with you, and I'm going to make it short. I'm not of the profession that all of your calling people are. I'm a proof that this is not out there, that this is for real.
Thank you very much.
It's true. I helped myself as an artist when I went through much trauma of loss with a husband, my friends, my cat. A psychiatrist did not seem to fit the need. I wish I had known that there was this type of expressive arts and help and nurturing at my time of need. But I just love your program. I love talking to you, and I'm going to let you go. But I had to call and tell you how much I enjoyed listening to everyone. And I will definitely keep it in mind for some of my students in watercolor, as I do quite a bit of painting.
Awesome.
That's great. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
How inspiring.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, Rhoda, for calling in today. We only have a little bit of time, but I need to ask all of you. Kate, you're one of 5 certified music therapists in Maine. You mentioned, Christine, you're one of 14. I know in other states this is a much larger pool of people. How do we make this grow in Maine?
I think inspiration. I do a lot of presentations at conferences, and I talk to students. Anytime a high school student or a college student contacts me, I will meet with them if I can, because I was that student at one point. And I really think with all the research that's happening, it's going to grow and grow.
We have a lot of interns that work with us, and it's educating those interns, doing lots of in-services. Mm-hmm. Kate did a conference this past spring, and it was really wonderful to be able to present the field and its credentials. So,
mm-hmm. I agree with that. The Creative Health Conference was wonderful at USM. The universities, I do a lecture at USM and also UNE to promote the arts. UNE is starting to have a program in that. So it's really, and sometimes it's word of mouth, you know,
yeah.
And programs like
Spread
this.
The word.
Well, thank you all for being here today. Kate Beaver, the owner of Maine Music and Health, which provides group and individual music therapy services to clients in medical settings. She's a board certified music therapist. Christine Linehan has been in private practice at Riverview Counseling in Scarborough for the past 19 years, specializing in creative treatment approaches for traumatic bereavement, and she is a dance movement specialist. Jamie Silvestri is founder and executive director of Art Van. She holds a master's of expressive therapy, a bachelor's in fine arts, and is a certified art therapist. John Keimel ran the board today, and our volunteer, Tommy Bazarian, answered your calls. The executive producer of Maine Calling is Jonathan Smith. Today's program will be rebroadcast this evening at midnight. Tomorrow on the program, the changing relationship between the U.S. and Cuba. Join me for a conversation about the Secretary of State's upcoming visit and what needs to be done before the ties between our countries are normalized. I'm Jennifer Rooks, and you've been listening to Maine Calling on MPBN.